wanna be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we could keep in touch like they did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago.
You know, it's just occurring to me, when we started this show, we made it such a big deal for the listeners to sing along with us no matter where they were. And 100%. It's just occurring to me now, we've moved over to Team Coco. We have a lot of new listeners who maybe have not gone back and checked out old episodes.
But I bet they're already singing. How could you not sing?
That's what I just want to know. If you have the inclination to sing, you're in your car. Yep. You're on a subway, you're on a bus.
Do an Instagram story. Tag us in it. We'll regram that.
Do an Instagram story of you just letting it all out to that theme song. Or just do it. You don't have to record it. Just do it.
I love
just sing with us.
When people do Instagram stories of being like, favorite thing I loved in this pen pals or something I learned, or you guys are two cackling idiots, I'll regram those stories all day.
Not me. I have such a high standard.
Lower it. Lower it.
I wish I curated my social media just such an asshole.
But you message people and you go, sorry, not good enough.
The thing. I wish you would have made the cut, but I didn't like the tilt. The tilt of the camera wasn't working for me.
I don't want us to get on a run that we already started, but let's just do the things we have to do so we can have a great time, which has kind of already started as well. We're doing a live pen pals, Roar.
That's right.
This is the first pen pals we've got to tell people. It's our first live pen pals as part of Team Coco.
You heard it here first.
Or second or third, depending if you follow us on social media.
You've maybe already heard it.
Right. You might have tickets already.
You might have already. Might have already even done it. I don't know when this airs. When is what?
This drops on the 15th of September, 2021.
That's right.
And this coming Saturday, the 18th of September, at the High Plains Comedy Festival, we're doing a live pen pals with the Dollop Boys, Gareth and David.
That's right.
So if you're in that area, everybody is going to be vaxxed. Everybody's going to be having masks on. It feels like a very safe way to do comedy these days. We trust them. So we hope you trust us and come out to the show. Or if you're hearing this, you have a few days, send us a letter to thepenpalspod@gmail.com and say, hey, I'm going to be at the show. Or just send us a letter for that show.
Yes. Yes. Yes to all that.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that covers it.
I don't even know.
I know. I always feel like
it feels so strange to be going out into the world.
I know.
Yeah.
We're going to be jazzed. The last one we did was February, right? Of 2021 with Jacoby.
2021? No.
2020, I mean.
2020.
Yeah.
With David Jacobs.
I know.
What do you think he's up to?
Right. This very moment?
I think he texted me and I got to text him back.
I mean, he emailed us both twice.
How often do you forget to text someone back and then you just hit him with a barrage of apologies. Because you're like, look, I read it.
You know what I usually go with? You know what I usually go with? Opened up this thread to tell you blank, realized never hit send. And then I put quotes in the thing I should have written back.
Yeah.
And then five or six times.
I'm now realizing you can get away with that. You do that to me. Now I know your plan.
Okay, that's it.
Folks, we have a treat today. As you know, if you've been listening to this podcast since the beginning 30 years ago, or if you're brand new, we have guests now. Not all the time, but when we do, we fucking do.
Anytime we have someone good enough who makes the cut to be a new pen pal,
and it's vicious. It's a vicious, we go through so many phases of narrowing it down. But
there's
today,
a grueling hazing process.
You wait until we bring your ass in here.
You made it through, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest today made it through a barrage of obstacles,
literal hurdles and metaphysical ones.
Yes. You know and love her from being the creator, writer, showrunner, so many fucking titles.
Person who loves to work.
Person who loves to work.
You didn't say executive producer. I don't know. It's just...
Oh, God. EP. If you're in the biz, EP.
You did challenge that credit on IMDb, and you're waiting to hear back.
Yeah.
I did.
Day one of shooting, I go, I'd like to actually talk about the EPs. Like, what? But she is the all of those things for the hit Apple TV Plus show, Physical with Rose Byrne and yours truly, and so many other talented people. And we can't believe we have her here today. Ladies and gentlemen, Annie Weissman.
Hi,
Annie.
Guys.
Welcome.
I'm so excited to be here.
You're a pen pal.
Did people know you were going to have anything exciting as a writer to talk to on this show?
They expect it.
I hope so.
Their expectation with us is you better. I don't think they care about anyone's occupation. They need people to be just rad.
Can I toot our own horn? I think that all of our pennies and pals are like, if Daniel and Rory are going to talk about it, it's going to be good. And so they would probably extend the same feeling to if Daniel and Rory are going to have a pen pal on the show with them, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But also, I would like to say this because I don't think people realize this. Maybe they do.
Okay.
But almost all of the things that people love in entertainment started with a writer.
Oh, 100%. You are speaking my language, my friend.
Yeah, especially in TV, the writer is king.
And when I say almost all, I'm only eliminating reality television.
And a lot of that has
but
writers.
But even that is conceived and written.
And even that has unpaid writers.
But you know, the really magical thing when you're doing it right is that people fall in love with the characters.
Yeah.
But there is that really odd little bit of magic where the actor becomes the character.
Yes.
And so out in public, you are the spokesperson
for that character.
Yeah. I think about the things, the choices
Rory's they make.
Rory's the spokesperson for your imagination.
And you know, at the end of the day, you're like, well, it did kind of come out of my, like, if you really want to talk about who this character came from, and if you want to, like, you know.
Now she's talking about Danny Rubin, such a great part of the show. I just
huge
just
part
build
of the
myself
show.
Up.
You start recategorizing.
Like,
it's
you,
a show
I'm
about
only
a man.
Talk about
it's a show
a
about a man's wife. That's how I. That would be
really,
very in character.
Who really could be more involved in the marriage. She is not as attentive.
He could be better. He could be better. Yeah, I guess that's true. That's an interesting way to look at it. Just a spokesperson for this thought. What were you saying?
That's where you hope will happen as a writer. You hope that, like, you kind of disappear and people believe in Rory Scovel as this guy so that they've come up to you on the street and ask you about this character, not so much about me. Like, the goal is that you're kind of invisible. When that works really well, it's sort of like then you're sitting back there as a writer sometimes going, well, I'm created all these people, you know?
Yeah. What do you think is the success rate for you in your career as a writer? What's the success rate where you go, I'm very happy with where that character landed with that actor. Like, let's say if you did like 100, what do you think your numbers are? You going, I'm happy. I like it. Because certainly there's got to be some times where you go, oh, that's not at all what I wanted. And I'm not happy with what I got.
Back to the Future.
What did you, Eric?
Stoltz.
He did a really good job. He just wasn't the movie they were making.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait. What happened with Eric Stoltz in Back to the Future?
Hold on, but don't you get excited when someone doesn't
know?
He was cast as Marty McFly. They shot like 30 days of Back to the Future.
30 days.
And then replaced him.
You're the lead and you get fired
after
30 days.
I know you guys are Back to the Future nuts because I do listen to the show.
Well, we both are. But right.
Mine is Stand By Me and then Back to the Future. His is Back to the Future and then Stand By Me. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
All time.
I haven't shown it to my kids yet. I don't know why.
How old?
Well, they're 13 and 10.
Perfect.
They could absolutely.
You are kidding me.
Wait,
this
how
is
old
the
were
wheelhouse.
You? How old were you?
About that. But it hit me so. It hits you so much later on in life and everything.
Yeah.
Like loss.
Well, you
and
go back,
reflection.
You revisit.
But
it.
Just as a kid, the leeches scene or the like being out on your own and seeking out that freedom and finding
adventure.
Out
who
you
are.
And the humor, the barfing scene. I mean, all of it. Yeah.
She won't
all
let them watch anything. They've never seen even a cartoon.
No way.
Until you find out she's a crazy
puppets.
Rediscovering things through your kids is the best. I mean, we just watched Monty Python. We went on a whole Monty Python tear, and that was heaven.
That's good.
To see your kids discover
How did it hit them? Were they like, love it?
Just in the gut.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's not the
falling
best
over
in the
laughing.
World.
Just like
when you take somebody,
joy.
When you take somebody to your favorite restaurant, like when you nail it, when your thing you love hits somebody else in the right spot, Stand By Me, you have to. You have to.
What's just occurring to me? I'm just now realizing an argument for what we do as creative people is you go, hey, you know what I just did? I just showed my kids Monty Python, the Holy Grail.
Right.
That was shot on film. It's not today's standards. It was actually just okay then.
Yeah.
It was okay then. And you know what? They loved it because the thing that the person was creating, they got that.
They didn't care about all these other things
that, you know, sometimes people on the other side of the table just go, but we need this and we need it to look this way and hit like this. And you're like, no, just the main joke. They just got to get the joke.
Right?
No one cares
about
the other stuff.
Monty Python that it feels like a group of people making each other laugh. Like, that's why people love friends. Your show. You guys are friends. You love to make each other laugh. You guys are Monty Python. You're legends.
Mean, we've said
no,
it.
No, there's we something about...
Before every episode, we go, remember
we're Monty Python.
You're Monty Python. You're better. No, there's
the
there
Python
is something
podcast.
About...
Never forget that.
Like, it makes you, it draws you in and makes you feel like you're part of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, these guys just live to
will
make
you,
each other laugh.
Will you tell us exactly what it's like in your house after you show them Stand By Me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have they seen Back to the Future?
They have seen Back to the Future.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
And we loved it.
Of
they
course.
Were a little,
you didn't bring it up, though. I feel
they
like
they were a
like
little it. Young. And I am going to say, I have two girls, although my older kid is now identifies as non-binary.
Okay.
I think Back to the Future is a boy movie.
I could see that.
You know, it really touches
then I'm
something
curious how
really
Stand By
important.
Me will come across as well.
Yeah. It's about... Male
well,
friendship, but
it's really,
I
but that's,
a,
but it's about youth more yeah. so than any sort
but it's
of
also
gender,
about,
I think.
It's also about youth. And I feel like it's also a different, it's also about vulnerability in a youthful way
yeah.
that I think is more broad than like what you're saying. We're Back to the Future is like, look at this boy on this adventure.
Right.
And it's a fantasy. yeah. It's a boy fantasy. Yes. Yeah. I mean, like the skateboard and the girl
yes,
and that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, when you show them Taxi Cab Confessions, I can't wait for that.
They're going to love it.
They're going to love it.
They're going to say Taxi Driver. Show them Taxi Driver.
How many things when you revisit have a little bit of rape in them?
Yeah,
Back to the Future has a little bit of...
I know.
A huge turning point in the story.
I just watched Beetlejuice and he keeps trying to look up girls' dresses and then marry a high school student.
Honestly, like, Ghostbusters starts with a little bit of a...
Yeah.
A little bit of a rapey scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Dan Aykroyd gets the ghost blowjob?
Of course I do.
How did that, like, remember when you, I remember seeing that as a kid. Obviously, I don't know what a blowjob is.
He was thinking about it when you asked the question.
Of course I was.
It was already on his mind.
I went through a whole thing in my head where I was like, is the opening scene the Dan Aykroyd ghost sex? And then I'm like, is that scene rapey?
It was literally on the screen. I could see it on your face.
Dan Aykroyd ghost blowjob.
Who pitched that?
He had to have pitched it. And then Dan Aykroyd got to be the spokesman for that person's imagination.
Which was probably his own.
He got it back to the beginning.
I think he wrote it.
His own, he got to be his own spokesman.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right, do you want to go?
Should we go where we go?
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the letters.
I'll never tire of that vibe.
I always feel a pressure to change it up.
You can do whatever you want.
Now that's out
Rory,
there.
You
in
can
the
do
listeners.
Whatever you want. Start delivering it anyways. Maybe we'll start doing the thing where I give you the genre, like rom-com or horror movie, and then that's how you go to the
That'll
letters.
Be fun. All right.
Whatever you want.
All right. We'll try that out.
It's our show.
Make
we'll just
it
talk
scary.
About it.
Yeah. I think it should be scary sometimes to go to the letters.
For our listeners out there, I will say... This is our first guest since coming over to Team Coco that I know has, I can say with confidence, listens to this show.
Sure.
And gets it.
Great.
I can't say others haven't. And people don't have to listen.
Well, the great thing is we have people on who, even if they haven't heard it, they get it fast. But they we have someone fast. Walking in the door that was already like, I know.
I get it.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
People can't see this. She brought her own microphone, her own stand, her own chair. She goes, I know what's required.
She brought her own letters.
She goes, look, I was sent these two. Just read these.
I did bring pens.
You
she did.
Did
we
bring
did get
pens.
First guest to bring a present.
New tradition, I hope.
This one is called When Can I Tell My Cousin to Fuck Off?
Okay.
Dear Dan and Rory, the correct order, as I've followed Dan for years, not in a stalker way, but Rory is growing on me. That laugh is fantastic.
And we talked about his laugh.
The rolling laugh.
The order is
the
wrong.
Roaring,
it's
the
correct.
Rolling is wrong.
It's correct.
You followed Dan for years. Side note, my name is Bronwyn, but I'm not the OG Bronwyn. Hi, Bronwyn. When I started listening to your backlog, is that the right term, of episodes, I was very surprised to hear how often you said my, not my, name. I've spent my life saying, yes, that's how you spell my name. Yes, my first name. Yes, I'm sure. End note. Main body. I really like how this letter is
structure.
Main body.
There is structure in this person's
It's not just
life.
Structure. It's pointed out structure. Like, side note, main body. Here we go. Main body. I am very close with my second cousin and am considered an auntie to her 9-year-old daughter. My cousin is very religious, whereas I left our very cultist church a while ago. Since my niece was born, my cousin has been giving me shit about the language I use when her daughter can hear. Love that shit is in that sentence. Now, I love well-placed profanity. I love them all. A good motherfucker is sometimes the only thing that makes a situation bearable. I get that maybe saying douchebag in front of a toddler with no filter can be a problem. But my niece is 9 years old. Nine.
Not quite 10.
Not quite 10.
10.
10.
10. But
not,
nine.
Not 10. And today I got shushed. Do you say shushed or shushed?
If I am describing what someone did to me as shushed, I am pissed off.
Nobody wants to get shushed. Oh.
But you don't. So you don't say shushed because I love saying shushed.
If I say it mad,
it's such a stupid word.
Wait, are you
word.
Talking about the actual pronunciation?
The pronunciation. Shushed.
Pronunciation.
Pronunciation.
There's us.
Shushed. And now the show has started. Shushed. I know it is shushed, but shushed. It shush is so fun because it's just so stupid.
But Annie's on the.
It feels like a ball pit.
But if I'm looking at someone, and I go, "Do not shush me." I
don't
am
do
mad.
It. Yeah.
Oh, I'm.
It's
mad.
Humiliating. To
yes.
Shushed.
Exactly. That is the perfect.
Shush
is there ever a time? Is there? Well, let me finish.
Okay.
This.
Yeah, I don't want to sandwich this.
I can't sandwich this thing right now. And today I got shushed by my cousin for saying I was quote unquote pissed. Shushed.
Pissed.
Like I was an unfucking ruly kid acting up in a library. I love my cousin and my niece. I want them to feel comfortable and spend time with me, but at what point can I tell my cousin that she's going to have to deal with the fact that I'm going to use language she doesn't like? I can likely keep fuck, shit, and douche out of our conversation, but I'm going to use other words that her kid is going to have to get used to. It's not my job to mollycoddle. I've never even heard that word.
Don't even get me started on mollycoddle.
It's not my job to mollycoddle. That's when someone's on molly and you have to take care of them.
That's a mollycuddle.
Mollycuddle. It's not my job to mollycoddle your kids so they aren't corrupted, right? Or am I being the dick here? At what point do I get to just be myself when I'm around my niece? It's not like I'm offering her meth or porn. This seems pretty low key to me. Thanks for your input and advice. I'm a penny, but working on being a paler, and I've made it through to May 2019 since I started listening July 15th.
Wow.
That's great. Yay for ADHD and hyperfocus. Your pen pal, hashtag FFS Bronwyn. Sorry this is so long and that I have such a love of parentheticals.
I feel Ron, you, Bron.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one...
Where do you want to go, Roar?
Here's the
Where
deal.
Do you want to go, Annie?
I have so much to say about this.
Jump in.
Well, here's why
I'm so excited to talk about this.
This
I have
is
had
great.
This same experience.
This is
with
from
my
which end? From which end?
Oh, go.
So, okay. First of all, Bronwyn, don't apologize at the end of your letter. Your letter's awesome.
Agreed.
It is
you got
great.
Nothing to apologize for.
The structure
I
alone.
Love it. Yeah.
Forget the content. The structure alone.
The structure,
alone.
The naming of the structure.
Don't put us in a position to mollycoddle you.
Don't mollycoddle me unless I need it.
Okay.
So, all right.
Okay.
Annie.
So my sister-in-law, also known as my husband's...
Sister.
Mm-hmm.
We
are idiots, but we're not that
okay,
stupid.
Okay, but you know,
but it could have been
there's
her,
other
it could have
relationships.
Been her husband's sister-in-law.
Is that
it
what
could
is
be
that called?
My sister's husband? Oh no, wait.
No.
My
no.
brother's wife.
Yes.
It could have been my brother's wife. I Maybe. Don't know stuff.
Folks, you're listening to the first three cackling know. Idiots episode
so
of
Pals. It could have been my brother's wife, right?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's not. It's my husband's sister.
Yep.
So she very formal person.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of rules in my husband's family.
Fun.
A lot of WASPy formal rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same experience where it was before I had kids. And there's something about, you know, your status in the family before you're a mom yourself,
sure.
where
yeah.
they can still kind of like, mm-hmm. it's a control thing. They're
yes.
trying to kind of put you in your place.
Nice.
You're not a mom. You're yeah. sort of less than in the family. And she did the same thing to me. She had those little boys. I think they were around... You're on 9 or... You know how you don't know
and
ages
is,
of kids before you have
yeah.
kids?
Yes.
Now you know
so
everything.
So you don't have kids at the time of
Don't have
this
kids at the time
event.
Of this.
Okay.
Don't have kids at the time of this.
Yeah.
So, and then I said similarly, like the word... I said like screwed, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah,
a
yeah.
very PG word around her kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she shushed. She's no. just, she, you know, she chastised me. Like she called me out about, please don't say this word.
Can you give me the tone? Can you give me the tone of the shush?
It was a, I'm going to get in trouble if I'm making fun of my sister-in-law. Well, she has a mid-Atlantic vibe. She has a Katherine Hepburn vibe. It's a shush.
Okay.
She calls me Honey because she has a mid-Atlantic affectation. It's hilarious. Honey.
With an A.
There's an Honey. H on there. Yeah. Honey. And Honey, please don't use that language around my children. You know, and you feel shamed because you're like, I'm this person. I'm this childless adult. I'm less than you. And that's what it's there to do. It's to kind of put you in your place. Like you're less of an adult. Ugh. First of all, you're not less than an adult because you don't have kids.
No. No.
And becoming a parent doesn't make you instantly more worthy, more mature. Right. You know what I mean? It doesn't. Right. So, but still, it's hard not to feel they have the authority in that moment. You feel like a dirt bag. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel like you're corrupting kids. It made me feel terrible. Less than 5 minutes later, she walks out of the room. That son says to his brother, I'm going to cut you, motherfucker.
Shut up.
Not kidding. And I just
And that's when you had your first friends in the family.
I was just like, come here, buddy.
That has to go.
It was.
Did that happen? And you go, well, that's going to be in a scene. I would immediately write.
I know. I'm just like going in the notebook. So it was like, you know, she doesn't know. Like, God bless her. But like what's actually going on and what those kids are actually saying and doing. She has no idea. She's just trying to control. Like, and she's trying to make you feel less than.
Well,
are they very religious? Are they like, we're always at, what religion are they?
They're Episcopalian, or as I
call
it.
Are they always at church?
Not Jewish. I'm like, they're not Jewish.
Fun Catholic.
Like, that's
I call
not
it fun
a religion.
Catholic. Fun Catholic.
It's a choice.
It's like.
It's Catholic, but they shaved a couple rules. And they're like, we get it. We're
laid
back.
It's easy
laid
back Catholic.
Okay, Rory has
But it's more formality. It's that they're formal. Right. It's that they're kind of upper class. It was kind of like putting me in my place class-wise. Because I'm like,
yes,
I'm trash. Yes, they're fancy. Yes. This was a way of saying that. But I was like, guess what? You turn your back. Mm-hmm. Your kids are trash
Your kids
too.
Are murderers.
Tell you what,
Your kids
I'm
are
not
murderers.
The corrupt. And just like this woman, you're not the corrupter of that kid.
Right, but she has to deal with her. Like that's the thing. I want to get into that. But like Rory has an interesting strategy and choice because I remember last year, 2 years ago, we were hanging out. It might have been one of our porch hangs, and I dropped an F-bomb. And then I was like, oh shit, sorry. And you
which is two curse words.
I love it.
And you
two strikes.
Yeah.
And you said, strikes. Oh no, we don't. We don't care around Elliot. We just talk, and we're gonna trust that as she grows, we teach her when it's appropriate to use language and when it's not.
Well,
and you were like, we'll just say to her, we don't say that here. We don't say that around them. Like,
yeah,
I'm gonna trust myself.
Yeah, to same philosophy.
Educate my child.
Same.
Yes,
exactly.
I think I
understand contextual appropriate
because
language.
When they just learn it from friends and however they've learned it or whatever, there's no contextual learning to it. They're just learning the words and then hoping they don't accidentally say it around their parents.
Yeah,
you are saying these exist. I will be the one who introduces you to them, and I will introduce you to appropriateness.
Right, and I all of that stems from I grew up going to Catholic school and. The rules and the way you're supposed to compose yourself, which I'm not like fully against all of it. Like I think there's, you know, finding out where boundaries are and how to behave in a certain way. Sure, it's great. But I remember cursing was such a horrible thing that it almost made me obsess over a thing that now that I'm older and I just curse all the time, I'm like, that was never a thing.
Right.
But yet in school, you're taught like, well, when you talk like that, you're now God's mad. And so as a kid, that informs your reality that you're like, I can't stop thinking about the word fuck or shit or whatever.
Yeah.
And the level of energy, the amount of energy and distraction and guilt that I felt for thinking it, and you know, you're just a kid, so your brain doesn't flip over and go, well, you're just you. It's not your fault that you're thinking something.
Right. Yeah.
And you don't ever go to that. You just feel bad.
Right.
And then, you know, because of Catholicism, you go to like confession and you're like confessing, I thought about a bad word. And and so to me, it's like, it's putting so much into a thing that it's just not a thing. So with our daughter, I've told her, I go, there's going to be instances where you're not supposed to curse. And if you do and you get in trouble, then you get in trouble.
Yeah.
But with me and your mom and, you know, almost all of our friends. I can't even imagine a friend that would care. With me and your mom, I don't care. I don't care what you do. Right. I don't want you to do it at school because I don't want you to be the kid that's, you know, getting other kids to, right. you know, in case they shouldn't be talking like that.
Well,
that's
also,
that's
useless,
their life.
Right?
Yeah.
So if she stubs her toe and yells the F word and yeah. it felt very appropriate to you, I'm not going to come down on you. But if you say F you to me and your mom, we're talking about
sure.
actionable, yeah. like sure. intent,
I think,
right?
It's and a I would say at this age,
manners
I would,
it's the old thing. Values.
Dog it's poop's like, fine yeah. on the ground. That doesn't mean you get to throw it at people.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think she sees those words as words of like
attack.
Of course,
not yet. No.
Right. Yeah.
Where
she
you
will,
would say,
with
fuck
you as her dad, she will.
But it's
learn
so
that.
Funny. And maybe you have this too, since you have a similar philosophy, but she'll be like, Dad, I can't stop thinking of this bad word. And I'm like, what is it? I was like, just say it. Say it a lot. And then you don't think of it. And she'll just be in her car seat and she'll just go, Fuck. Little kids. If you haven't listened to a little kid curse and it's coming from like sort of a guttural place,
right.
you don't know how entertaining it is.
When my little one was about five, I gave her a stuffed fox mm-hmm. for Christmas. And she goes, Mom, I know what I'm going to call it. Fox. And I just was dying. I'm like, we couldn't stop laughing right. about it. I was like, right. why didn't I ever think of that?
Right.
It's just one vowel mm. change.
Yeah. Mm.
So I was like, points for it being so yes. funny. She didn't quite know what it
and
meant.
And F-U-X, you're like, that's not even technically that's
you're
not
in the gray.
The cursor.
You're
fine
right there.
I love the way her whole mind like played around with that. It made me
so
laugh.
Let me ask you, before we roll out of this, the question, the other side of this letter is, what do you do when another person is telling you your language makes me uncomfortable,
sure.
which actually is not yeah. the real thing, because here's the deal. I tend to not use curse words around my grandma, Rosemary Van Kirk. Right.
Sure.
And
sure.
the reason I don't is because let's just call it like it is, just flat in a vacuum. I don't speak that way because I care so much about what upsets her.
Yes.
So, but in this scenario, this woman's saying, I care. Here, let me put it this way. I care so much about what upsets my grandmother, despite the fact that it's commonplace. Yeah. And so she's saying about her, was it sister? Cousin.
Cousin. Her second cousin. Cousin. Yes. Second cousin.
She's saying about her cousin is, I don't care about the thing that upsets you that is very commonplace. Mm. Because yeah. if you did care, you would feel the way I feel about Rosemary. Right. But here's the difference. The cousin is not just representing that. It's not like the cousin saying, don't do this. This is how it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. They're saying, don't do this because I'm representing how I want my daughter to feel.
Yeah.
And now you're like, well, you don't really get to like make, you get yeah. to parent. Don't get me wrong. But like, you're representing a third party. Like if it's just you and I'm at your house, I'm not going to use that language. But if you come over to my house, I get to you. That's kind of how I feel about
it.
Well,
here's what I think. Yeah. And obviously we don't know Brown Russian personally. But soon we will, because over the years, we bond with our listeners.
We always have room for another Bronwyn.
Always have room for so many Bronwyns. But here's what I think. I think Bronwyn is a normal, practical, 100%. Nice person.
100%.
And maybe if you don't shush or shush, mm-hmm. but instead let the moment happen and then go, I know how this sounds.
You're saying the cousin.
Could you, you please just not curse around the kid? It's just, I know. I know that you do, and I know that we're coming from different places. And
so that's of the person who's saying,
My guess is if that's how that happens,
agreed.
Bronwyn doesn't even write this letter.
Because you're not a shusher.
Because
in
Bronwyn
your context,
goes,
you're not shushing.
Yeah.
You're expressing.
I think
yeah,
Bronwyn goes,
it was the
approach. Right, I'm sorry.
You made her feel like a dirtbag.
Exactly.
You made her feel like she,
and you know
you
what? Bronwyn has
kid.
A right to go, I yeah. hear you. I totally hear you. Understand, no one changes who they are in one conversation. So as much as I might think, like, don't say the F word,
I'm
going to
try.
I might drop yeah. a bitch.
Right.
But I need you to understand, me dropping that bitch
nowhere.
comes from a, oh, fuck, rather than a, gotcha. You know what I mean? Because yeah. when you shush someone, they're almost telling you, like, you know how you're supposed to behave and you didn't
yes.
do it. And you're like,
yeah.
whoa,
yeah. Yeah,
whoa.
Here's what...
A little bit of grace.
You were going to say something. What were you going to say?
Well, and I mean, I think underneath it, it's always just like, hey, your feelings matter too. You don't have to tell your cousin to fuck off, but you can tell your cousin
right.
like,
right.
it made me feel bad the way you kind of did that.
Can I
great
tell
point.
You? Because
I care
point.
About your
Annie,
kid. I care about my, I don't want to hurt
great
my
point.
Niece or
also,
nephew
yeah.
or whoever.
On some
what
level,
though,
I would be like, I hear you, cousin, yeah. but pissed. I here's the thing.
Come on.
I hear you, but
yeah. Pissed. What's the standard here? What's the standard here?
I'm with Annie, and I think the move, and Bronwyn, feel free to take this, but I think the move is to randomly and for no reason shush her back later.
Shh, shh, shh. Yeah.
Over a thing where she goes, I don't know. It'd be fun to watch a movie night. Shh, shh.
Can you not with the movie suggestions? Yeah. Can we not with
start
the movie suggestions?
Start shushing her too much because, and this is no way to live. But my brain is always like, oh, show someone what bothered you, mm-hmm. as opposed to having an adult conversation. No, do it back to them so they can see how it made you feel. Which is no way to live. And I know that's no way to live, but honestly,
we're supposed to treat people the way we want to be treated.
Yeah.
But as I always say,
isn't that annoying
sometimes,
when I say it that
sometimes
way?
Sometimes I'm treating someone the way they're asking me to treat them.
Yeah.
Like that's sometimes you're on the other end of
it. I don't know if you get the phrase completely.
I do. I remember when I said this to my mom, and she was like, just remember the golden rule, do unto others as you've had them do unto you. And I go, right. So sometimes I am the other end of that. That person is doing something and how they want me.
The thing you know, it's infinity.
Have them do unto you.
Yes.
It's sort of infinity.
Well,
because then if you're doing it, she goes, well, that's why they're doing it.
Well,
you're
that guy's
doing it. Never.
I'm only being a dick because that guy, that's how he wants me to do unto him.
That's right.
But you know, when you come from a place of respect, like when you're with Rosemary, you want to do things to her standard because that's a sign of respect. You respect this
person.
It's
all about respect.
Right?
It's all about respect.
So on some level, she's saying, I care more about commonplace than respect, right? To her own cousin?
Yes.
On some level. But also her cousin, like you were saying, has to like can come in and be like, hey. But I also love that Bronwyn can go, that there's a shitty way and a nice way to tell somebody.
And,
absolutely.
And honestly,
that hurt my feelings. I love a good hurt my feelings really settles somebody down a lot.
Yeah. We haven't landed here in a long time, but I'll tell you what, Bronwyn, this is a classic case of an F2F that needs to happen. Here's what I think you do. Yeah. You grab your second cousin. You say, let's go grab a burger at the local drive-in. I'm concocting a whole town.
What else are they getting? What else are they getting?
At the small town where you pull up and roller skates comes out to take your order.
Relish. So charming.
They got the burgers
like
and they
there.
Put relish on it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Burgers where the burgers get relish too.
I can smell the fresh cut fries in the fryer.
For sure.
Because it blends with the fresh cut grass that's just behind you there. Very rural.
Yeah.
Just say, I think you have an F2F and just go, hey, look, language aside, you shush me and I will fucking cut you, motherfucker.
I will.
And you know where I learned that from? A 9-year-old.
And you know where I learned that? I learned that through the EP of physical to say, I'll cut you, motherfucker.
You could just try to follow this 9-year-old around and hear what he actually knows. Because she is teaching the kid to lie to her. She is teaching the kid to pretend. That's why you and I don't do that with our kid. You know, we go, okay, these
it's all kind
words
of a sham.
Exist in the world. It's a sham.
Yeah. Also, if Elliot were to grow up and just go, I don't prefer, just so everyone knows, when my wife and I curse, my daughter says she'd like us to tone it down.
Yeah.
She says, please don't say that. And sometimes I'll be playing a podcast and she's in the car and I've sort of forgotten that she's in the car and they curse and she's like, can you turn this off? And I'm like, I totally get it. I was like, I like that you're, this isn't your job. But I like that I like that that's sort of her reaction. But the reality is you're going to get older and it's just language. It's all expression. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't see it. Now,
can I see
now if you walk in and you go, what
church,
the fucking Rosemary? You're being disrespectful.
She'll
and that's
me. I'm not joking.
But that's a representation of who you are. And the reason you don't walk in and say fuck is because you are being because you are a respectful person. It doesn't mean you don't talk that way.
It's not just the language.
I just don't
want the values underneath it.
Well, for anyone listening, just know this. Daniel says fuck all the time.
Yeah.
Daniel, in certain circumstances, won't say fuck out of respect. Is that not the most normal expectation we should have for people? Hey, just, you know, be appropriate. Just be an appropriate person.
Right. And then give
Bronwyn
someone
just
grace.
So you know, I'm not saying that about pissed. I think pissed
no,
falls very
crazy.
Much into screwed.
But still,
those are in the same zone.
I promise we'll end it here. But still, Bronwyn has a right to go, I hear you, I'll do my best. So I'm giving you the grace of saying I recognize your needs. Give me the grace of recognizing I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. That is some adult boundary setting
Bronwyn,
right there.
Bronwyn, extra points if you can work the word pissed into the F2F.
And I guess what pissed me off, sorry.
Oh, sorry, I know that's a red flag for you.
I just want to follow up on one thing you said about the Catholic Church, though, because I know that, like, I totally agree with you about, like, how, you know, rigid and confining can be, especially when they're trying to police your thoughts. But here's what's kind of magical and cool about language in the Catholic Church. I say this as a Jewish girl.
Also, that sentence has never been said.
I say this as a Jewish girl.
Okay.
That they believe in the power of words, and that words, so words are not just descriptions. It's like performative, right? So it's the best example of this is like the priest saying, I now pronounce you man and wife. Like those words make you married, right? They don't describe it, they do it.
Right.
So they
not technically, but yes.
I mean, it's, but really, after
the
words
eyes of the church,
are said.
In the eyes of the church.
In the eyes of the church. Yeah. Okay, this is all belief, their belief.
Yeah.
So also curses, blessings, these words themselves have power. And so that's really, I don't know that I believe in it. Right. I don't really believe
in it. Like the Our Fathers and
the idea of it really compelling.
Yeah.
And I think for young people, like going into the arts, like you were becoming a performer, becoming a writer, like that idea, even when it scares you a little bit, when you're sitting in confession, you're like, ooh, words, but it's still, it's kind of thrilling, right? It's kind of thrilling to think about like, ooh, if I say the word, something bad happens.
It's
I
don't chant. If I say the spell, it's like, it's not too far off from like Harry Potter, like
it's
the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers, like chant that this many times and you'll be fine.
And you know what? Sometimes, I don't really believe it. I still a little bit sometimes, like if I'm scared of something or if I want something to happen, there's still a little part of me that'll be like, oh, come on.
Buddhists do it too. It's a mantra.
It's like a mantra.
Yeah.
So there's something, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's all.
I like that.
I love it.
Look, I love Catholicism. There,
you know what
you
I mean?
Guys worked
there
out
is.
Of me.
There it is.
All right, Bronwyn,
you crushed it. You did nothing wrong. We're on your team. Let us know if you need us to come to town and
we will
pose.
Be pissed off.
Yeah, we'll be pissed.
So pissed.
We can come to town super pissed.
Super pissed.
She's like, guys, I live in LA. The whole thing you drew up is Monrovia at best. But we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel,
Daniel Van Kirk,
and
Annie Wiseman.
Yeah.
And
we're back.
Hi, everybody. Hey, if you want to send us some snail mail, we have a P.O. box.
That's right.
You can send the Pen Pals, but it's care of the Pen Pals Pod, Daniel and Rory, in that order. Oh. 5419 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite C, as in cat, number 121, Los Angeles, California, 90027. I don't know if we'll ever memorize that.
We will never. I know I won't. I don't even remember Starburns when we were there. I don't remember that either. I just know it was in Burbank.
There you go. You're
That's
close.
That's all I know.
All right. You want to do this, guys?
Let's do this.
Here we go. I want to do it.
Hi, Rory and Dan.
Hi.
I recently started listening to Pen Pals, so I'm only a penny, but I really wanted to write in. So here goes. I'm 13. I live in a ultra-Orthodox Hasidic community in New York, so I'm not technically supposed to use internet at all. But since my father is a full-blown, yet very well-hidden, atheist, I started to want to go away. But from what I know, every person that escaped ended up either taking their own lives, unhappy, or even coming back. So I just thought I'd stay with the Jewish costume for the rest of my life. But recently, I thought about freedom and what my meaning in life was. So I started talking with a relative that is a college teacher. He really wants me to go to public school, but even normal people have a very hard time with school. And since I'm not even socially great with Jews, I don't know if I'll survive school with a whole different culture. So I guess I just wanted to know your thoughts or tips on what I should do. And also, how do you even look at ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jews? Like, how does it look to outsiders? Anyway, bye.
How old again?
13.
13.
I could never have composed so much maturity and depth in a letter at 13.
Yeah.
I still don't know at 41.
I mean, to be fair, they might have had Siri write it for all we know. Google Assistant.
Yeah.
That's an impressive.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful
13.
Letter.
I love this letter. I will say this about our letters.
We were talking about Stand By Me, and we were talking about that edge of life, right?
Yeah.
And that movie ends with him being like, we saw less and less of certain people in the hallways until they just became passing faces. And then we kind of became the people we were going to be, and it set us on the road for who we were. And he really felt like Stephen King, who wrote The Body, and Richard Dreyfuss's narration and Rob Reiner's direction. He kind of really felt like that is...
You do like the movie.
You do love this movie.
It's not, it's not fake. It's not fake. He loves it.
They really... they all kind of mirrored this feeling of like these turning points in your life. And we're getting a letter from a pen pal who's saying, I'm at 13 and I'm wondering what life will I have? But also like at the same time seeming to have scope for challenges and
fears. I mean, 13 and listens to this show.
Incredible.
That's a red flag.
That is a red flag. That is amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, I mean, I would say, wow, 13 years old. So my older kid is 13. And I, you know, to reach out and try to have your own connections in the world, even outside of a religious community, is a big deal at this age.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
I mean, growing up around, Columbia is bigger, right? And where did you grow up, Annie?
I grew up in San Diego.
Okay.
Well, I grew up in Greenville. Did you say Columbia?
Yeah, why did I say Columbia? Sorry.
Wow.
Sit down.
No, I stand now. I stand for the podcast.
This is his power move. He does this a lot. I usually don't call it out.
But so, I stand really close to you.
Yeah. But being in Rochelle, it's very easy to kind of grow up in your culture because you're not seeing anything else. I imagine in New York, being a Hasidic Jew and seeing the other side of so many different sides of life, it must be.
Although I ask you a question, those neighborhoods are also very insular. The Orthodox community in Los Angeles and in New York is that they are living in like another century, but they're surrounded by modern life. Mm-hmm. Well, and when I first came to LA out of college, I lived in the Fairfax district, and there were a lot of ultra-Orthodox around. Yeah. It's like the neighborhood you land in when you first come to LA. Yeah, sure. It's like very central.
It's either there or Sherman Oaks.
And then at 5 p.m., everybody walks out with a white shirt because they go to their restaurant job.
Yep.
It was like So, and I used to sit outside and the communities would walk by like on their way to temple and you'd see... And I would marvel at, especially like the 13-year-olds, the kids like just coming into puberty and maturity. And I'm like, how are they staying in? How do they keep them in the fold? Because all around them is evidence of, you know, there's like sex and drugs and entertainment and everything.
Yeah.
But they keep them in the fold. And part of it was that I would look at them and think, like, I was really lonely at that time in my life, just leaving college. You're just leaving all this structure and you're kind of on your own. Mm-hmm. And they were so cocooned with family, multi-generational family from through and walking together, talking to each other, nobody on a screen. Like, and it was really beautiful. And I always used to feel like a lot of envy, like, wow, they really belong.
Yeah.
Like it was a time when I didn't feel like I had a tribe.
Is true though, if you feel it and believe it and want it, imagine being 13 or any age, he said his dad is a very well hidden atheist.
Yeah.
And feel like, am I just going to wear a costume?
For it?
Like
costume.
To feel so alone, surrounded in a community. I will say just
would
for
feel even worse
perspective.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have to go into this place, but eventually we will. Like at the end, like, how does it look? I did not personally know a Jewish person until I got to college, and I didn't have any friends who were Jewish until college.
Yes.
I had never seen a Hasidic Jew until I moved to LA. So I was very late in life before I even experienced that culture. So when I don't know if there's a Hasidic community in Columbia.
It's not Columbia.
Sit
Columbia,
down.
Not Columbia, South Carolina.
Columbia.
Columbia.
So I will be able to speak to that. But the other thing about the fear and the public school and the challenges, like I want us to all.
I don't know what that community looks like in South Carolina. I don't know that
did
I
you
ever
see a Hasidic Jew or did you know?
I don't know that I did.
But you
I
did in New York. So you did before
New York
you got
for
here.
Sure. But you know, it's so interesting because I remember like starting to witness and see that community in New York. It brings up like that became a part of something I visually saw at a time when I had already decided that I am no longer a part of Catholicism.
Sure.
I'm not going down
organized that religion.
Role. Well, I didn't like the label of, I still don't even like the label of someone being like, oh, well then you must be atheist. I'm like, but what if we just don't know? Why do we have to, like, this isn't a game show. We don't have to pick a thing and hope we're right. Like, what if you just go, I don't know. I guess I'll either find out that there's something or I won't find out anything because it all just ends.
Right,
and Tony Soprano and you're gone. It just goes black and that's it. I think I started to witness that community at a time that I was in my early mid-20s. I had made a choice that I did not follow Catholicism anymore. And I think I started to just sort of build this confusion in my mind of, well, I got out of this thing that wasn't really that strict at trying to keep me in. Like, I've oftentimes fantasized, like, how hard is it to leave that community? I think the same thing about, like the Amish. Like, mm-hmm. when it is so family, it is so, there's no outsiders. This is us, and this is what we do.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, is that, for your soul, is that like a thing where you go, oh, I love it. I love what I have with my family. We're so close. Because I go, well, I don't have that. Do I not have that? Because that's not how my religion that I was raised, how it was. But then I also longer, well, what I wonder, well, how much of the world are you missing? I also wonder, is this person 13? I mean, that's so much depth.
I wondered the same thing. But I mean, we have to take it.
Are we getting pondered?
I know. We have to take it at face value.
The thing that you don't know out, I mean, oh, I have so much to say to this.
Say it. Say it all. Well, this is the space. This is the time.
The thing that you don't realize when you're inside something that is this complete and all-encompassing is that life outside it is just a never-ending barrage of choices.
Yeah.
And one of the things that stresses modern people out so much is that we're constantly having to make choices.
And one of the things that makes a lot of people feel safe in those communities is all taken care of.
It's all taken care of.
This is when we...
And I don't hate that. I know that's... I don't know. Is that good or bad?
It's
I don't hate that. It's comforting. We see... Humans, we kind of seek some control. We get overwhelmed by too much.
We get overwhelmed. Yeah. So I think... I mean, the reality is, no matter where you are, you're going to look at another community and you're going to kind of wonder and envy and look at what would my place be there? Could I fit in there? So it's totally normal. What this kid, what you're doing is so normal. And it's just evidence of like a really active mind, like a really inquisitive and wonderful mind.
Which is
so
great.
Wherever you are, you're going to be that way. So whether you're in it, whether you're out of it, you're always going to be that guy who can kind of like look in and look out. Like you're really... This is like an artist. Like I'm hearing someone who's an observer and an artist.
Very self-aware.
Like they're not just a follower.
Very self-aware.
And you know what I would say too? It's actually kind of off of what you said, is that understand that no matter where you explore or what you question or where you go or what suit you try on, literally or figuratively,
that
as long as you are not destructive to others or to yourself, it's okay.
It's all okay.
Like you can go decide one week I want to work at a fast food restaurant and then the next week see if I can be a park ranger. You can go see if you want to be Catholicism. You could go test out Southern Baptist. If at your core you are a person who is going to be caring of others and good and kind and decent and ask smart questions to get smart answers, all the other stuff is just kind of where you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
That's
beautiful. But trust yourself to go, if I go to school, well, as long as you can't control other people being destructive, right? But you can say to yourself, it is going to be scary. But I am a person who, if I try this out and it feels more comfortable to me, it doesn't make me bad. My core is my core.
Yeah.
It's just where do I feel comfortable?
And I think this person will feel that way wherever they are, you know? So if you leave, you're going to feel that way looking in. If you stay in, you're going to feel that way looking out. But the main thing is that when you're 13 and when you're an adolescent, you're still getting information. You're still figuring it out. You're still interrogating
the world.
There's
still such a long way to go and discovery.
Yeah, so keep interrogating and looking and watching.
I know I just said smart questions, but can I ask a dumb one?
Yeah.
This is literally coming from a place of no knowledge.
Yeah, go for it.
Do it.
Is there a possibility...
You're like, what is Judaism?
That our pen pal leaves, sort of, leaves the Hasidic Jewish lifestyle, leaves the community, and ends up finding out just in being a secular Jew, if that's a correct term, that there are still things that they still get to have and take over from the religion that still make them, like, is that even a possibility? Or are they so far? I don't know.
Do you mean, could he move to a different version?
No, could he just kind of become a secular person and then realize, oh, I'm still Jewish because I like these things. Yeah. I'm just not a Hasidic Jew.
If your mother is Jewish, you're Jewish. Is that like the rule?
I
only know that from a David Cross joke from forever ago.
Yeah.
He just points that out in a thing. He's like, it isn't, you don't get to decide. He goes, it's already been decided for you. If your mother is Jewish, you're
I think
Jewish.
That's preposterous, though. I mean, that was what
it's
was
kind
always
of how you
said,
identify,
it's
right?
How you identify. It's totally how you identify. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak to what their community thinks about that. Because I think, I only know from like when I lived in the Fairfax district,
yeah.
the Orthodox Jews around me were like very judgmental of me. Like I was worse than non-Jews because I was like an outsider.
Because you
like,
knew and better. Chose not.
I right. knew better.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I left. So yeah. there's a lot of shaming.
Jealousy. A little
there's
jealousy.
Yeah, so they look at me, like somebody like me, and they'd be like, yeah, of course you're not Hasidic.
You don't know
Jew.
Better.
Of course you're not.
You're just but a then you, they're like, handsome you, man. You, of course you're not a Jew.
But you're from Rochelle. You don't get it.
You don't know better.
But to you, they would have a feeling of like, you know yeah. that this is the path.
Yeah.
And you aren't choosing it.
You're not following me.
You're one of the chosen ones like, and you're denying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you had the opportunity. To so there's a lot of hustle. So I don't know. Oh, is there a point of no return?
Know.
No. I mean, they don't, I don't know how they would perceive it. I mean, for me as a Reformed Jew, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I can take from the buffet and take what I want and leave what I don't. But that's not an Orthodox
right,
teaching.
Right.
I don't know.
It's a different version.
It's a different version.
I want to simplify what we are talking about with our pen pal here. And to me, here's what I am hearing and what I genuinely think in your, to me, the bigger question is it's been proposed to me to go to public school and I'm afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Is yeah. that sort of, I know there's a question for yeah, us,
no,
but
no, they yeah, talked to their uncle and their uncle was like, you should go to public school.
Yeah. Here's what I think. And it is scary. And it's also easy for you to talk about someone else's experience. It's easier for me, but it seems to me what I am hearing is that you sort of do know what you don't necessarily feel like you identify with and don't like. And to me, it's never worth staying in that because you're scared of the big question mark of what will happen if you leave the thing you don't like. Mm-hmm. And I know that is like, yes, but I'm here. And if I leave, it will cause earthquakes, maybe a big one, maybe a bunch of little ones, but it will cause disruption. It will be a problem. It will cause drama and stress for me. I personally live my life in a way where I go, but I don't like it. So I'd rather have the earthquakes mm-hmm. and the drama because maybe I come out on the other side, you know, finding something great. And as someone, and we say this on the show all the time, you're 13, supposedly. And you're not, when you make this choice, let's say you do a hypothetical, you decide to leave the community, you go to a public school, you change your entire life, you won't fully remember who you are today when you're 25. But you may fully remember, when you're 25, you may fully remember who you were at 13 if you stayed in the community, because you might still be the same person who doesn't like what you're doing.
Rory, the sentence where I stay with a Jewish costume for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
Costume. You feel that yeah. right now.
But he's also saying that as, should I just do that? And I'm saying,
no. I am not a professional. I am not hired in any capacity to give anyone, let alone children, advice.
All the quotes underneath this sentence.
Right. Is what,
just go ahead and take that for me.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, don't do that.
I don't think it's worth it. And I know what you put there, because you said before, some people find they're unhappy. There's also the question of suicide. It will be an emotional change. I think you're smart enough you're smart enough to see this. You're very self-aware. I think you're smart enough to know that change is shocking, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. Yes, sometimes change can end up going to a bad thing. We can make wrong choices in our life. But as you have said, life is just choices. And you can't ignore them when you feel it. The community is not giving you this choice. The other communities that surround you, where do they live? In New York?
New York, yeah.
The other communities, they're also not giving you this choice. Your uncle has proposed to you, maybe you should go to public school. So really, all that's happened is that the universe has given you a window and said, seems like you're not feeling it. Do you want to go through this window and see what's over there? Because you might love it. You might love it. You already know what you don't like. Why not go see if maybe you can find out what you love?
And you even said some people come back. So maybe you
You come back.
Maybe you learn about where you are by going somewhere else, which is really, kind of the only way, right?
Put the bumper stickers away.
Right?
No, get them out. Get them out.
Why did you bring a book of bumper stickers?
I didn't really know where, what was...
You nailed
it.
You nailed it.
But I mean, it's true. Like you can't get any perspective on your community from inside it.
You can't.
And maybe you'll get some perspective.
Yeah.
And
I bet your dad, who I assume is probably on some level wearing a costume because you said he's secretly an atheist. And I bet your uncle, who I could kind of infer has maybe stepped away from it or at least is in it, but wants you to have more perspective.
Yeah. Like, go more perspective is all, in my personal opinion, and everyone, I think it's just a logical fact. More perspective can only make you smarter. It can only give you more view. It only can give you more exactly of what it is. It will give you more perspective.
And it seems like he wants to live honestly and that there are people in that community not living honestly. So
What is the question that's posed to us?
We touched on it.
Yeah, but
how do you look at ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jews? Like, how does that look to outsiders?
Yeah. Here, I want to make it very simple because I don't really understand most religions. Mm-hmm. I've moved away from it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. And I don't find it important. But me.
Yeah.
If someone were to argue, but it is important, community and all this stuff, I'm not here to deny that.
Okay.
Or argue that. I would say for me, for the outside, it looks like it's a lot of what I am just not into.
That's
when
that's
I see totally, it from the outside. And that's not someone who's like, I haven't gone to temple.
That's not an insult to them. That's not an overly credit to you. That is just where you're at.
But now, I want to leave it with this caveat. Let's say someone just invites me to temple and I go and I'm like, that was so fun.
Why not?
Like my mind, I kind of leave it open. Like, what if I went and loved it? And they're like, whoa, well, you said it was a lot of what you... It just seems like in the summer.
I had a year of my life.
It's hot.
I had a year of my life.
It's really hot in the summer.
It's just not functional clothing.
I had a year of my life, my first year of moving here from Illinois, where every Friday night I was at a Shabbat dinner. And
wait, when you moved here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And it was wonderful. It was amazing.
Different Shabbat dinner every Friday?
No, same family.
Oh, okay.
Same family.
That was weird. I thought you were like Shabbat. I was picturing you.
His
just
first
like,
tour was a Shabbat tour.
Yeah. Everyone but it was local. Was telling each other, you got to get this guy over for Shabbat.
He's so fun.
He's the best.
He juggles.
He's the best.
He tries to juggle. but no, and it was a lot, just even the ceremony of those dinners, which
was beautiful.
Yes.
Right?
Beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But once it's all beautiful until like this kid starts to see through it.
Right.
And now he's
I
can't
home.
Believe it anymore. Yeah.
You know get what I mean? I'm visiting it.
Here's what I'm confused by.
You eat pork rinds on the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You stop at 7-Eleven.
As soon as he closes the door, they're like, still on the porch waving and he's like,
I got a bag of pork rinds in the car.
I'm mixing this cheese and this meat.
Why? I have a couple things to throw out there. And maybe I'm extending the conversation. We don't need to, but I want to make sure all our pen pals hear this. Why is I just want the dad to be a little more vocal as to why he's like, hey, look, I mean, like the kid obviously knows it. Does he think the kid doesn't know it? If he's
so
vocal,
novel just in that little parenthetical.
Yeah,
that's a movie.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
There's a movie there that the dad's like, I'm hardcore atheist. Like, maybe talk to your son. He needs to hear your perspective. And then the other thing is, you know, we have to keep in mind this kid's talking about we're not even supposed to be on computers or using the internet or anything. Like, so there is a huge culture shock, literally almost, I would assume, in every single aspect of our daily lives is maybe a shock, will be a shock, could be a shock. And I'm just saying that for the pen pal here to leave space in your mind to know you're going to be shocked and things will be overwhelming.
Give
but don't
grace.
Let being overwhelmed convince you that you've made the wrong choice. Being overwhelmed is a part of
everybody's life.
Anxiety and stress and being overwhelmed, there's no way around it. It's how you deal with it. So just know that that's heading your way. Don't think that when you get to those things, you've made a wrong choice. That's not necessarily true.
Right.
Just keep that in mind.
I'd agree. Write us back and let us know. I don't say this a plug. I say it because I really want to know. On our Patreon, we do all the letters when we hear back from
replies.
People who have written us in. Yeah, it's the replies.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear how everything goes. No matter what choice you make, if it makes you feel like you're living your honest life, like Annie said, living honestly.
Well, that was a bumper sticker. She's
Was my bumper sticker.
We cheer for that.
Wherever you are is where you were when you weren't there, like but now
something
you are there.
And I'll just read it again. We are not professionals other than entertainers.
Annie is a professional.
But we do care.
Yeah.
And I care about you and I care about your situation. And so, and I'm going to speak for my two friends here and say they do as well.
Annie is a professional Jew. She is a professional Jew.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why we were allowed. We were allowed to do that.
I might have a gift for you.
Did you pick the... Well, my kid is getting B'nai Mitzvah'd in a week.
Oh, really?
So I have a 13-year-old.
Yep.
And
are they doing the whole
prayers? B'nai mitzvah is the gender neutral term for Bar Mitzvah.
You are the first person in my life.
Can you say it again?
To say that word.
B'nai mitzvah.
I didn't know that.
So B'nai is like the they of, because bar means son, bat right, means daughter.
Yeah. Why have I never put that together ever?
I can guess why. Because you're from Columbia and I'm from Rochelle.
I am from Greenville, which is the same in terms of what you're talking about.
B'nai mitzvah.
And are they doing all the prayers and everything?
So they're doing all the prayers. They're reading from the Torah.
Yeah.
Congrats.
And, you know, it's exciting. I mean, it's funny because for me, it's I'm very much like Rory. I am a agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go on the record as being atheist because like, who are you to say like,
how could
there's
you know?
Definitely no God. Like I you know,
to me, it's almost the same. When someone's like, there's definitely a God, how can be atheist? And when someone's like, there's definitely not. I'm like, how can either of you be so
presumptuous?
I have a hard time trusting anyone who's definite of anything.
I know. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially a thing that we all know you couldn't possibly be definite.
Because if you stand like in front of the Grand Canyon and look in, you're like, oh my God. You know, like there's something.
Yes.
There's something. Or just look at the vast sky.
Right.
No, but we're doing the B'nai Mitzvah next week. And for us, it's just about continuing a tradition, like helping my kid feel like they're part of a something ongoing,
and
part of a legacy.
And yes, we will DJ it.
Yeah.
Well, Rory and I will DJ it.
Amazing. No,
do
we
you
are
like Orbital? I only play Orbital.
We are going to have a klezmer band. We're lifting the chair. We're doing the whole thing. My grandfather was a klezmer musician.
Okay.
By trade. Okay. Played all of the.
I'm gonna have to ask. I can't pretend. Klezmer is Jewish.
Traditional Jewish music.
Oh wow.
Music of the old world. The you know the clarinet.
Yeah.
See that's how I.
Yeah.
That's when I know Daniel doesn't know something that I also don't know. I know that it. I'm like.
You let him ask.
And then it makes it seem like I. And it seems like I did know the whole time.
That you're willing. Can I ask something?
It's great. Love to learn. It's an opportunity in feeling dumb. There's an opportunity in feeling dumb.
Yeah.
But we're doing it. And some people might say, does the ritual lack power if you don't have that really intense belief? I don't think it does. Because I think it's a continuation. It's, it's continuing the story. It's helping your kid feel like there's a foundation. And ultimately, they get to decide. Ultimately, this kid gets to decide.
Cake, is there cake?
Of course there will be cake. There's absolutely cake.
All right. Well, we love you for this letter, and I'd love to hear what happens. I hope your biggest takeaway from this is that you can do anything that makes you feel good as long as it's in a healthy way to you and others. Go for it. Live your life. Make your choices. Learn. Sincerely, we wish you well.
We wish you well.
Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk,
Rory Scovel,
and Annie Wiseman.